Joining us on the WBGO Journal is a familiar face to WBGO and a familiar face to not only Newark but New Jersey. The veteran journalist, author, and even calendar maker, Barbara Kukla, joins us on the WBGO Journal. Barbara, always great to see you.
It's great to see you again, Doug. Thank you so much for having me.
Newark Women, From Suffragettes to the Statehouse, is your seventh book about Newark. You've written a lot about jazz, but you've also written about a lot of the important ladies in Newark's history. And this one really takes it to a new level, as you have so many highlights that you have given. In fact, you have 650 bios in this new book. How long did it take you to put this together?
Not all that long. It took me about 6 months, and it was in production for 3 months. So I started last fall, and it's a fascinating history. But I get up at 7, and sometimes I don't go to bed until 2. So they're long working days.
One of the great things about your research is you've lived through much of the things that you have written about. You write about people of the past, but you've also lived through some of these long careers of the women, including yourself. You've been honored all over the place lately, and congratulations for all those accolades that you've been receiving throughout the past few years. In this book, you have the lieutenant governor on the cover.
I sure do.
Sheila Oliver. And so you have an old picture before that on the left side of the book. And tell us about that march.
Well, the name of the book, again, is Newark Women, From Suffragettes to the Statehouse, and the cover tells the story. On the left-hand side, there's a bunch of women in 1913 walking down Broad Street, and they're on their way to Washington, D.C. It took them 23 days to protest and march for the right for women to vote. Of course, it was on the eve of Woodrow Wilson's inauguration. He did not pay too much attention, and it took another 6 years for us to have the 19th Amendment to the Constitution to allow women to vote.
And that anniversary is coming up next year.
That's one of the reasons I wrote the book, as well as to honor a lot of the people, as you said, I know. So, and I wrote, I want to honor them and make sure that they're remembered, because memories are fast fading.
Barbara, with all your background and your success at the Newark Star and Ledger and your degrees and your books that you've done, is it hard for you to believe that there was a time when women couldn't vote?
Well, yes, because I'm a modern woman. But on the other hand, I found out that women in New Jersey were allowed to vote in 1796, believe it or not. But they only were allowed to vote until 1804, because it was a huge fight over where to locate the Essex County Courthouse, in Elizabeth, which is part of Newark at the time, or in Newark. The women were allowed to vote at that time. They were the deciding factor by something like 451 votes. The male legislators, of course, there were none who were women, got so angry that they repealed that right. So it took until 1919 for women in New Jersey to be allowed to vote again.
There's a number of women that you'd like to highlight from this book. We can't get to everybody, but Emily Miles is one that you wanted to talk about and her influence on fashion.
Well, Emily Miles was basically, there were several fashion gurus in the women in Newark. When I first came here in the 60s and even before that, Emily was probably the epitome of all of them. There was also Renee Stark, Sadie, Janet Beadle, and Sadie Vanet. But Emily was known for her hats, as a couple of the others were. But her hats were out of this world. They were like masterpieces, and she featured them. She also featured entertainment at her shows here at the Robert Treat. Emily Miles and her Bellmead models. And she had Miss Rhapsody, who was my friend, the singer, performing, and she had Joe Gregory, the song and dance man. So I was often at her house for some of these rehearsals and knew her very well. But she started off as a gym teacher, believe it or not, lived on South 10th Street opposite the Baracas. And there was hardly anybody who went to church who didn't have an Emily Miles hat.
Speaking of the Baracas, one of the people that you dedicated this book to was Bria Blackberry Molasses Knight, a poet.
A tremendous poet. She spoke at Baracas' memorial service at Symphony Hall. If you remember that, that was like going to the World Series, or the epitome of what you could have after someone passes away. She was remembered. There was a lot of Danny Glover, a whole bunch of people there. She was remembered for that. She, Bria, who worked at Creative Cuts on Halsey Street, there's Bria Molasses Day every year, since, well, in the last couple of years, because she died of childhood diabetes at age 29 2 years ago. So the mayor has proclaimed Bria Molasses Day each year, and this year it's turned into a health fair and a real extravaganza. And there's a tremendous amount of young talent, poetry talent in this town that I had no idea. Many, many young people are, and some of them are featured in the book as well.
The other person that you've dedicated Newark Women from Suffragettes to the State House is Mary R. White.
Well, Mary R. White, I guess she might have been my agent, but more than that, she was, I'm a member of Bethany Baptist Church. She was the pillar of Bethany Baptist Church. Her husband was Cliff White, who co-owned Woody's Funeral Home in Orange, and Mary was there for 72 years, tremendously active in the community and the first black nurse in the Newark public school system.
Sometimes I feel without your help, some of the most impressive and historical figures in Newark would slip through our fingers without your books.
I'm glad you said that, Doug, because what's really killing me at the moment is that one of the women in the book, Connie Woodruff, was my best friend. I've written extensively about Connie over the years, and she's gone 21 years now. She was on the board here at WBGO. She was on 30 boards. She was on Shirley Chisholm's board, head of the State Commission on Women. And yet, when I ask audiences when I speak, do they remember Connie Woodruff? 20 years ago, everybody remembered Connie. This is just an example. Could happen to anyone. But here is somebody who everybody in the community knew, who started the African-American parade. 20 years later, I'll speak somewhere, maybe one or two people remember Connie. So I tell them, go home and get your family history, or we'll all fade in 10 or 20 years, no matter what we did.
Vonda McPherson is in the business section.
Yes.
You've broken up the book into different elements, and she's featured in the business section. Tell us why you included her.
Well, I wrote a book about a black woman. This Vonda is a black woman, but previously I wrote this other book. This book is for everybody, and I really took a hard look this time to make sure that I had women of all ages and all categories. So there's 16 categories in the book: law, medicine, government, education, starting with business. Vonda is born in Newark. She had a jazz club downtown a couple of years ago, but Vonda's Kitchen on West Kinney Street is it. She's more than a restaurant owner. She is creating her own brand. She has a black eyed pea dip that's going into supermarkets. She caters now. You can have Uber deliver her meals to your house. And everybody who's anybody in Newark and anybody who's not anybody in Newark goes to Vonda's Kitchen on West Kinney Street.
Sally Carroll.
Sally is, again, a golden oldie. Sally, in 1942, I think it was, became one of the first female, black police officers in Newark. And she would be assigned in the beginning, because women couldn't do police work, to sit in the theaters because there were mashers, men who would come in and physically touch women. And her job was to sit there until some guy came in and touched her, and then she would alert a male officer for the arrest. She also worked for the county as a detective and was well-known in Newark as head of the NAACP on the national board for years and years and years.
With everything that's going on in the world these days, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, has anybody said, this is really timely, not only for the anniversary coming up about the right to vote for women, but just how women have been treated through the years?
I don't know if because our kickoff will be, can I mention this? Our kickoff will be Wednesday, June 6th, at the Newark Public Library. The response has been absolutely tremendous. I'm not too sure, unless I point out on the cover like I did before from Suffragettes, and the Suffragettes are featured in the very first chapter, and then I move to the Newark women. I'm not too sure that people are even thinking about this too much. But I'm hoping to educate them.
When it comes to two of our current politicians here in Essex County, and one has reached the status of lieutenant governor, we have Sheila Oliver and State Senator Teresa Ruiz.
Sure. Well, Sheila actually bumped Teresa from the cover, because when I began writing the book, Teresa was the highest ranking elected official from Newark in the state of New Jersey. Then along came Murphy and who became our governor, Governor Murphy, and Sheila. And Sheila became the lieutenant governor after being in the assembly for many years. Both of these women are featured. Sheila's on the cover. I've known them both since they were girls, essentially, or young. Sheila's at a Weequahic High School. She's an Indian. She speaks all over the place. These are two women in government who are really on the case. Teresa's big thing is early childhood education. She wants it to be mandatory statewide. And they both have passed or sponsored a lot of bills that have been of benefit to women and their families.
With that many bios, you're not really having the opportunity to miss too many. But when it comes to that process of who gets in the book and who doesn't, was that difficult at all for you?
Well, in retrospect, you never did enough, okay? As soon as the book is in proof or comes out or there's nothing else you can do, you immediately remember something you didn't say or somebody who was not included. And that's happened here because there are so many other worthy women that – probably should have been included, but the book would have been 1,000 pages. There are a couple people that I'm really concerned about, almost embarrassed to see, because they really should be in the book. I thought I set the standards, but no matter how much research you do, there's always holes in it, and that's happened again here.
All those years at the Star Ledger, how were you treated as a woman?
I was one of the first, if not the first, reporter doing hard news. But my generation of women, I'm 78 years old. I was in my early 20s when I came to the Star Ledger. At that time, I didn't know I was being mistreated. This was just the way women my age, particularly white women, lived their lives. Men were in charge. You listened to what they said. So in the beginning, some young boy could come in and get a job, get a beat right away. I not only had to I did a lot of important stories in the beginning. I did the first heart transplant in New Jersey. It's my first story. A lot of tragedy stories. I also did the list of Vietnam veterans where you had to call the families every night. But I also wasn't exactly like go get the coffee, but I also had to do the schedule for the party pages. No guy ever had to do that. So there were things there that don't seem that subtle right now that I really kind of glossed over until I realized I've been doing this 5 years. Why aren't the fellas doing this? And then finally protested. But I was kind of quiet and shy in those days, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's hard to imagine, Barbara. Newark Women, From Suffragettes to the State House, is the latest book, the seventh book from Barbara Kukla. She also has 6 calendars that she has put together on the various different parts of history of Newark, including sports and education and jazz. You love this, don't you?
I can't begin to tell you that financially it's become a drain. I'm lucky if I break even. It's a hustle at my age now to lug these books around, but I do love it, and I plan to do it as long as I possibly can. And I'm quoting my friend Clem Moorman, Melba Moore's father, who was still playing in a nightclub, playing piano and singing at age 100. And I said, Clem, how long are you going to be doing this? And he said, until God stops me. And that's exactly how I feel.
This Wednesday at the Newark Library, you will have your dedications that you mentioned in the book, and also have a book signing at the Newark Public Library. What would be the best compliment you could get, maybe from a younger woman who has read your book?
Well, I've been getting, it's amazing, online I've been getting all kinds of compliments. I'm surprised to hear from people who say, you wrote a story about my brother in the Star Ledger 25 years ago. It makes me feel well. Or my mother's cousin is in your book, and I'm honored. The best thing I think I can say is, although it may be difficult to do, keep doing this. We appreciate it, and a lot of kind words that are kind of heady that I don't think I'd mention on the air.
As people walk through Penn Station, if they go through the various gateway centers, they'll come across those animodules who've been put. And there is the face of Barbara Kukla. So you are a part of the history of this city. And it's always a pleasure to have you on the WBGO Journal.
I want to thank you, Doug, very, very much. And I appreciate your having me again.